step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Welcome to Writers Nation Radio, brought to you live by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Writers Nation Radio serves to provide a network and platform of resource and exposure by collaborating with professionals and aspiring writers to bring your message to life. Now, here are your hosts, Shalandra Norman and Kaneen Morgan.
Good afternoon, writers, and good morning. I keep forgetting I'm in New York, and those who are listening on the West and Central time zone, good morning to you. I am your host, Kaneen Morgan. Welcome to Writers Nation, and here with me is co-host Shalandra Norman. Hey, Shalandra girl, how you doing?
I am wonderful, Kaneen. How are you today?
I am doing well. I am so excited at just the great things that we have in store and that we're doing with Writers Nation and the Write Experience Workshop. It's just an amazing time, an amazing journey in the area of writing, and I'm so looking forward to it.
Absolutely. I cannot wait for everything to just come to fruition, especially our website. We got a sneak peek, and so finishing up some the final touches, and I am like, okay, is this really us? Is this really Writers Nation?
Yes.
So very exciting. Yeah. So, and it's definitely going to be a perfection Writers Nation because we have a perfectionist on our team.
Yes, we do.
By the way, let's talk about that, Kaneen. Tell me a little bit about it.
Okay. So I like to bring our listeners and our audience to what it is that we're working on, because everything that we learn, we like to share with them, because perhaps someone also is going through the same thing. So, Shalandra, one of the things with us is the website, and because I like for things to be somewhat doesn't have to be completely perfect, but somewhat perfect. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we were discussing was the website, where you absolutely loved the website, and I said, no, not at all.
And I wish the Writers Nation team could see it because it's really nice. But, you know, a lot of us are perfectionists. Right, Kaneen? Go ahead. Tell us more.
Yeah. So I do agree. So it's not just even with the website, but even in my writing. I find mm-hmm. myself rewriting. So that's a topic that I can definitely teach on and share with writers who often rewrite because the idea of thinking that is not good enough or wanting it to be perfect. And not that I don't think that is good enough with my writing. I definitely look at it, I'm like, wow, this is really good. Like, I wrote this. This is really, really good. But the idea of wanting it to be exactly perfect, where sometimes I write it and then I get an idea as I'm reading it over, and as I read it over, I'm like, oh, I should add this, and I keep adding and adding instead of letting go. So I think with the whole idea of perfectionist is, I think perfectionist, and I hate to admit it, but I'm going to admit it, is the whole thing of control. Wanted to keep it and not letting it go, you know, because control is holding on rather than letting go, and not wanting to let go of something and letting it stand in its imperfections. So it can be perfected. So it's always going to come back to perfection, Shalandra.
Right.
But
very true.
I love what Breen Brown said, and I love this woman. She's amazing in her teachings. And she said, perfectionism is not the same thing as striving to be our best. Perfectionism is not about healthy achievement and growth. It's a shield. So I thought that was very, very interesting. So what would you like to say about that, Shalonda?
It's definitely a shield, because you know what shields do, right? You know what they do? Their purpose.
You know what? Maybe we shouldn't have this discussion, actually.
I just want to make sure that we're all clear what shields does.
Okay, let's hear it.
Block. But no, you know, on a serious note, you know, just striving to perfection is always a good thing. I mean, come on, what's negative about that? There's really nothing negative. The only negative thing is that, you know, if it becomes like, you know, almost obsessive, or to where something needs to be done in a timely manner, and it prevents you from getting it done in that manner because you feel, you know, you yourself feels like, oh, it's just not the way that it should be, and the others are saying, it's okay, I'll take it. It's okay, I like it. Or, you know, to where, you know, others can identify, I don't know, to me it seems like it's, you know, it could possibly be a problem, you know, when others are affected and not, you know, not such a good way, then it can possibly be looked upon negatively. So,
right.
But striving to be perfect is, you know, always a good thing, because when you're perfect, there's no errors and there's no faults. So, you know, that's something that all of us will be striving, you know, forever.
I'm glad you brought that up, because because it's where you forever doing it. Like, with perfection, is never ending.
Right.
At some point, you arrive at achievement where you say, okay, I am satisfied with that. I am happy with that. So at some point, you do arrive at it.
Right.
But, you know, so the whole thing with perfectionist is definitely another word for procrastination, you know,
yes,
where you just keep doing it over and never arriving at it or never achieving it. So perhaps I'm not perfectionist. I'm not a perfectionist because I arrive.
Brightest Nation. We're going to move on.
But you know what? It's the whole thing where you are content in it, and not always. Like, I definitely want to say that I do have some perfection. I definitely admit it. And it's so interesting because our next guest, I'm so glad that we have this person come up. Because especially those who are writing their resumes or doing something concerning career. Shalonda, you and I had a discussion because a while ago I had you look at my resume, and of course, and I had two other people. I had someone from my school, the career services department, look it over, and I also had you look it over, but I was still not satisfied.
Perfectionist, Writers Nation, perfectionist.
But I had a professional resume builder because they are skilled in that area, and I had them redo it, and I absolutely loved it. And the only thing, the first time they have completed it, you know, you can have two other revisions. The only revision that I requested was of a change in the wording a bit, and that was it. And it was perfect. And I'm like, oh, I so love it. I look at it all the time.
There's two key things, Writers Nation. Disregard that I have a master's in HR, and disregard the professional data, but she still wanted the wording changed. Perfectionist, once again. As I mentioned earlier, that's what I'm talking about. But, you know, you're right, though. This is definitely a good, you know, topic to discuss with our next guest coming on, and he is an expert and a strategist in writing that perfect resume and using all of the unique techniques out there to gain that position that you've been wanting, you've been, you know, yearning for, and then how to get promoted once you're in that position. So, you know, when I was out there in the corporate world, that was one thing that I did not like, and I was actually on the other side, HR, hello, on the other side in the hiring and the letting go, and didn't like it because things were changing, and there were always subtle changes. And then, of course, as technology advanced, you know, we had to keep up. And so, of course, the world of hiring, you know, began to change to keep up, you know, with the world of technology. So it can definitely be rough for a lot of people. I think with the millennials, they're the ones that are changing a lot. And me on the other side now, would say that, you know, you kind of got to tweak it and you kind of got to adjust because, you know, retention mattered in the past. I don't know. I hadn't been in the corporate world in a little while, so I don't know if it still matters, but I definitely would assume that it does because it affects, you know, corporate numbers and the bottom line. Mm-hmm. So with people just staying on the job for a year and a half, like 18 months, is that's it, or maybe 2 years or whatever, you know, no more than five, and they're changing to another job. You know, that just doesn't say something about the people, the employees, but it said something about the hiring process, the job itself. So I think that there's a little adjustment in everybody, not just, you know, with you wanting that, you know, perfect resume and everything. But, hey, I'm not the expert in that. So I'm just saying what I observe. So, but we have an expert that's coming up that's going to educate us all and tell us all about it. So I'm excited and I'm ready. And if you have your questions, Writers Nation, comments, certainly call us at 347-989-1363. And I think now it's commercial time, right, Kaneen? We go to commercial
Absolutely. So stay tuned, Writers Nation. We will be right back with our very own special guest coming up. Again, if you have any questions, give us a call. Come into the caller queue. If you have feedback, questions, or if you have any questions concerning your resume, definitely give us a call. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Wednesdays at 10:30 Central Time, tune in to Workshop Wednesdays with your host, Tony Gambone. Tony speaks with small business owners, entrepreneurs, authors, and experts who share their stories of success. The best way to find success is to listen to the successful and use their experiences to find your own success. That's what Workshop Wednesdays is all about. To learn more and listen to the show, visit workshop-wednesdays.com. Workshop Wednesdays, Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. Central. Join Shalonda, Norman, and Kaneen Morgan every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. Central Standard Time on the Tough Talk Radio Network for Writers Nation Radio. Writers Nation's mission is to provide a trusted source of information, a dynamic network of writing experts, and writing entertainment for curious and thoughtful writers and authors. Learn more by going to WritersNationRadio.com. Writers Nation Radio, showcasing writers and helping them soar.
Welcome, welcome back, Writers Nation. We are here with you, Kaneen and I, ready to give you some great information because we know that there are a lot of job seekers and people that are already on their in their careers that are working hard and they're wanting to get promoted. They're seeking other positions and they just want to know what's that secret and how can I gain that new position or how can I move to a higher position. Well, we have our expert on the line that can help you guys out. And now we will introduce Mr. Dunn, and I hope I get your last name right. Levy?
Levy.
Levy! I got it wrong, but that's okay.
That's okay. Levy. It was close.
How are you today, sir?
Doing great, ladies. It sounds like you're having way too much fun this early in the morning.
And we love it.
Hi, John. How are you?
Doing great.
Good, good. Well, we're so glad that you decided to be a part of our show and just took out the time to even want to be a part of Writers Nation. We're happy to have you on. And we know that you come with tons of expertise, and we're ready to hear about that perfect. You know what I'm ready to hear? About how can social media gain you that perfect position?
Well, I know a lot of hiring managers use social media to exclude candidates
mm-hmm.
by checking
Absolutely.
Out. They want to know who you are when no one's looking.
You know, I see. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was going to say, but social media today, one of the things that's important is for candidates to really understand how to build a professional brand and to promote that brand on social media. Today, with social media strategies, you don't have to go through a gatekeeper to try to get access to a hiring manager or a decision maker. You can actually have direct access to those individuals with a sound, solid social media strategy that promotes your expertise in those different social outlets.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know when I was on the other side and I did a lot of presentations to hiring managers and directors of HR and VP of HR, and I could just go, you know, directly to them with using social media because you're right, all of our information is out there. You can contact them directly, and like you say, you can brand yourself. But what I would like to know, and, you know, that's a key thing that what you said earlier about how social media can you know, help you brand yourself as well as exclude yourself from getting that position because, you know, we feel like, oh, this is my personal page and I can put whatever pictures, I can say whatever I want, but someone is always watching. And I
That's
think
right.
that, yeah, they never think of that. People never think of that, especially, you know, the millennials, and that's something I mentioned earlier before our interview with you about how, you know, the mindset is so different than before, you know, and it takes a lot of what you're doing, workshops, seminars, and speakings, and just, you know, really training and molding and teaching how to present yourself and how to brand yourself to gain that position. So I would like to know, you know, what are some of the things that you encourage or really promote nowadays to the millennials as far as gaining that right position? Because they're way out there, a lot of them, when it comes to social media.
Yeah, I think the biggest advice is patience.
You have to
have patience. One of the things that takes time is building a brand and building a reputation
right.
within your profession or your field. And
mm-hmm.
you do that by joining professional associations and maybe writing for peer-reviewed journals, having articles published in a peer-reviewed journal from an association. There's nothing better, as you ladies know, that says expert, nothing better than being a published
yeah.
author.
Absolutely.
And another thing is teaching at conferences or speaking at conferences. You want to get known as someone who provides valuable information to others first. And with mm-hmm. social media, as you try to get the attention of decision makers and hiring managers and movers and shakers, the whole idea is not to try to get somebody to buy into who you are, but to provide something of value to others first. I remember Zig Ziglar once used to say, the great motivational speaker, used to say, if you help enough people get what they want, you'll automatically get what you want.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's
very
good, yes.
Very true. Tell us a little bit about the book Confessions of a Hiring Manager. What were some of the key points that you normally would do if you do your workshops on or you're speaking on? What are some of the key points that you really promote in that book?
I think the probably the most important thing is the whole hiring process is not
mm-hmm.
about you. Your resume is not about you. Your
right.
cover letter is not about you. Your
mm-hmm.
interview skills are not about you. It's always about addressing what the hiring manager needs. And you
right.
do that through the correct language in your cover letter. And your cover letter, most cover letters, as you ladies probably have seen,
mm-hmm.
They look like obituaries of someone's experience. This is what I've done in the past. You know, it reads like an obituary. But
oh,
the,
yeah.
The cover letter, you know that. I can take it. You've seen them.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
the cover letter should promote the future benefits of your expertise.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And how you are that hiring manager's problem solver, solutions provider, and game changer. by accomplishments. Now, everyone on has duties and responsibilities, and on a resume, when you see bullet list after bullet list of duties and responsibilities, that does not differentiate you from other candidates. A hiring
Absolutely.
Manager wants to know, what did you accomplish? How did you contribute to the higher strategic objectives of the organization beyond ordinary duties, daily duties, and responsibilities? And an achievement-focused resume will definitely get the attention of a hiring manager.
Absolutely. Would you say that, you know, I remember I used to always want or would always encourage employees or job seekers to do something just a tad bit different to gain someone's attention, not go, you know, just completely, you know, out of the ordinary, but to just add something a little different on your resume, something pertaining to what they're looking for on there, and then really, I guess, put those key adjectives behind it or in front of it to let them know that you really have the experience that they're looking for in that specific role. So would you say have the hiring managers, have they changed throughout, you know, the time as far as looking for something that stands out? Do they still do that, or, you know, because I know some resumes, of course, most of them are standard bullet point, but then sometimes some people can be, only few can be very creative, to have that courage to be very creative and stand out, and not so much as be comical or amusing, but the resume stands out, and they have those keywords, exactly what the hiring managers are looking for. And they really
right.
express that. Mm-hmm.
Right. And I tell candidates to do not use an objective statement on your resume. That is a useless picking up valuable real estate on a resume. It's
right.
a euphemism for I want a job with your company.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
See, the protection,
and I tell them to replace
they had a
it.
Reason.
Yeah. And I tell them to replace it with a professional summary that captures
right.
the candidate's high-level value at the 30,000-foot level. What are the big things that you bring to the table that will interest a hiring manager? And whenever you have accomplishments on your resume where you can actually tie quantified data like revenues generated, costs avoided, percent increase improvement, I always tell candidates, put those numbers in bold, because a hiring manager doesn't read a resume. They scan them. And when you put those numbers in bold, it draws their eye to exactly what you want them to look at, the quantified
Absolutely.
Accomplishment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is very true. Very
yes.
true.
Yes. See, it was the method behind the resume,
yes.
Shalonda.
Don, I'm telling you. Definitely a method behind her madness. But the strategic career engagement, the definitive guide for getting hired and promoted. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Well, that kind of picks up where Confessions of a Hiring Manager left
mm-hmm.
off, and strategic career engagement just was named the runner-up for the 2016 International Book Award for Business and Careers.
Wow. Awesome.
So I'm very proud of that.
Congratulations. Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
So
Thank
you know
you
what
so
you're
much.
Talking about.
Well, I've got 30 years in I've got 30 years experience in different hiring manager positions for Fortune 500 companies, and I've looked at over 1,000 cover letters and resumes. I've interviewed hundreds of people, and I've hired all kinds of professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get the hiring manager's attention, you've got 5 to 7 seconds in that cover letter to grab my attention in your first sentence. And I tell folks, don't state the obvious, like, attached, please find my resume. Well, you know, I'm a college graduate. I got a master's degree. If I'm reading a cover letter, I can pretty much figure out there's a resume coming right behind it. So don't
Absolutely.
State the obvious. Get to the point immediately. And the best way to do that is with a question that has an obvious answer, like, dear hiring manager, do you think your organization would like a professional who has accomplished the following? And then you pull that bullet list of accomplishments from your resume and put it right at the front of the cover letter.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that gets the hiring manager. It's an obvious rhetorical question, because obviously the hiring manager is going to say, well, yes, I'd like to have that person. And hiring managers are programmed to say no. when a resume comes across the desk, because the cost of hiring the wrong person is so expensive, and they're under more pressure today to do a better job hiring candidates that have a higher percentage of being successful on the job. And so you want to get them in that mindset, like, I'd like to have a candidate like this. And to be honest with you, it's the old Socratic method of inquiry, how Socrates used to debate opponents. He'd get them to agree with certain points of his, and by the end of the debate, he had removed all their points of contention because they essentially agreed with him.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you come with some very key valuable information for job seekers and people that are currently on the job and, you know, want a promotion, about, you know, branding themselves even more and using what they've learned at the job, you know, at that particular corporation that you want to move up in. So I think that's awesome. But I know my perfectionist co-hosts have tons of questions for you, Don. So I'm going to turn it over and let Kaneen go ahead.
Hi, Don. I have one question for you, because I see that you have two upcoming books. The one of them is called The Militarized Zone, and the other is The Valuosity Quotient. Can you tell us a little bit about what those books are?
Sure. The Demilitarized Zone is basically how I can help returning U.S. veterans going from deployed to employed. And that's
okay.
Taking them into the corporate job market world, how to translate a lot of their military experience and their whole military persona into something a hiring manager can gravitate to. Everybody wants to hire veterans, but unfortunately, people aren't putting their money where their mouth is, and a lot of veterans are finding having difficulty getting work with companies that they simply don't understand how the military experience translates to something that they can find of value for the civilian job market. So that book hopefully will be out sometime either late this year or early next year, and the valuosity factor is picking up on that professional brand and being able to, once you get into a new position or a new job, immediately start to provide value for that employer or that client. You want to hit the ground running immediately, and that project will show how to do that.
Okay. Awesome. Wow. And now the other book, a little bit more in details in terms.
I'm sorry, which one?
Uh-oh, sound like we have a little technical difficulty. I think she wanted to know about your second upcoming book, but look like she's got.
Yeah, the valuosity factor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the valuosity factor is it's going to really go into detail about what is the idea of adding value? How do my benefits, the future benefits of my expertise, add value to a hiring manager or to a company? And it's just essentially drilling down deeper into establishing that brand in the marketplace, having other people polish that professional brand for you, which is what we call brand equity. I actually got a job. One of the best jobs I ever had was with Intel Corporation. I had a hiring manager call me out of the blue. And he said, look, you don't know me, but I've heard you speak at conferences. I've read your articles, peer-reviewed journals, and the management newsletter. I have your resume in front of me. He says, but I feel like I know you. And he hired me over the phone because I had my professional brand out in the marketplace. And that was one of the best jobs I ever had. But it's like sending off a flare to hiring managers that, hey, I'm your expert. I'm your problem solver. I am your solutions provider. And here's the demonstrated expertise that I have and the demonstrated accomplishments. A lot of people in their cover letters will say, I have a proven track record. But when I look at the resume, I don't see any evidence of a track record. I see duty and responsibility and duty and responsibility. So
absolutely.
You have to follow it up with the proof in the pudding.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I used to say, just stop using that. Don't use it.
Exactly.
Just show your proven record. Show it. You know, write it down. Put it on there. You know, and stop saying that, because you're right. That's all you would see, duties and responsibility, never the proven, like, okay, so you did this, okay. So that's absolutely true. Well, I can only imagine. I think that's a great great thing you're doing as far as the book that's coming out, you know, for those those that are retired or resigned from the military, and they're, you know, now they're coming out into the corporate world, and it can be very challenging for some of them, frightening for some of them. It's really a challenge, because it's totally different, you know, civilian and then, you know, coming from the military. It's just totally different, and, you know, everything about it is different. And so that's going to definitely be a number one bestseller.
Well, I
for
hope
sure.
So. thanks so much, ladies. But and it comes from the hiring manager's perspective. There's so many books out there by people who have written career strategies that haven't hired probably but a handful of people. The person you want to get your career strategy advice from is someone who has hired a lot of people, not just screened resumes like a lot of recruiters do, because recruiters, I give them a shopping list of what I'm looking for, and they send me the first cut. So when a recruiter tells me I've looked at 40,000 resumes in my lifetime, I don't doubt it, but he hasn't looked at them with the responsibility of hiring. And the people you want to talk to are people in HR and people who are former hiring managers who know exactly what it takes to bring people in to fill that position.
Absolutely. I hear, Kenny, you're back. So he answered that question about the second book they were interested in.
Okay,
but
did
you have any more questions? Go ahead.
I know, because I know we're out of time. I just wanted to make sure, Don, you give all your information, and we would love to connect with you again, just so our listeners will know how to contact you, especially if they have questions regarding their resume and to know what hiring managers are looking at and thinking of.
Sure. My book, Confessions of a Hiring Manager, Rev 2.0, is available on Amazon.com, and Strategic Career Engagement, The Definitive Guide for Getting Hired and Promoted, is also available on Amazon. And people can go to my website. It's a long one. It's my name, Don Levy Jr. Strategies.com, and I'll spell that, Donnelevijr. The word strategies.com. I got a lot of free information there. People can request my career strategy tip sheets, even download sample chapters from my books.
Thank you
so much,
Dawn. It was such a pleasure. I am so happy we had a chance to connect with you, and we just wish you the best of luck in all your endeavors, especially all your wonderful books and your blog. I was looking at your blog. You have very helpful information that I know a lot of our listeners can go ahead and use and go to your website and discover all the great things they need to discover in terms of getting employed, making sure they get in the door. So we thank you so much, Dawn. You have a fabulous week, and we will definitely be in connection with you very, very soon.
Thanks, ladies. Let's do
this again.
We've got a lot more to talk about.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Thanks a lot, Dawn.
All right. Have a good day.
You too.
You too. Enjoy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, Writers Nation listeners, we'll be right back. Stay tuned. We'll be coming right back with our commercial break. Again, if you have any questions, feedback, comments, we would love to hear it. Give us a call, 347-989-1363. Hit 1 to come into the caller queue, and let's hear it. We'll be back very soon.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help you take the next step in your relationship with Christ. Listen in to hear from others about their experiences of faith and the love of Christ. Call in to share your experiences at 347-989-1363. Learn more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com. Join Shalonda, Norman, and Kaneen Morgan every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. Central Standard Time on the Tough Talk Radio Network for Writers Nation Radio. Writers Nation's mission is to provide a trusted source of information, a dynamic network of writing experts, and writing entertainment for curious and thoughtful writers and authors. Learn more by going to writersnationradio.com. Writers Nation Radio, showcasing writers and helping them soar.
Welcome, welcome back, Writers Nation. That was an awesome, awesome interview for all of the job seekers as well as those individuals that are wanting to get promoted on their positions. Don Levy is the guy to seek after and get all of his information. He has tons of information that's free for you, so definitely go on his site and get his books and download whatever tips he has to offer. Excellent, excellent information, Kaneen. I think that was awesome, valuable information to share with our Writers Nation. So
absolutely.
Now we have our absolutely. So now we have our another very special guest that is going to discuss with us some very intriguing yet thoughtful and just key wisdom information on I would say how to be self-conscious and basically sane while driving and how to really dig deep. You know, when we're taking those, you know, I would say road trips, just to really break it down to you, taking those road trips, and you know how our minds just go off into la-la land, and we come up with a lot. Kaneen and I are very creative, so I would say driving is always a good thing for me when I'm doing. I actually love road trips where I have to drive to that destination, as long as it's not past 5 hours. That's all my mind can take, 5 hours, and just really come up with some really good creative ideas, you know, to just really share with everyone and just put down on paper. So that's an absolutely great thing, a great, great way to rear end, to gain some positive energy and put it into your subconscious and just really allow yourself to go, you know, in a really good creative way. So without further ado, we are going to introduce Mr. Ken Hayes. How are you today, sir?
I am doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks so much for taking out the time to be a part of our show. We're so excited to have you today, and we are excited to learn some more about Drive Me to Think.
Hello, Ken. Yes.
Hello, hello. Hey, I love what you said about self-consciousness, because that's really what it is when you're driving. Is that it's an awareness. You want to be aware of yourself and your thoughts, because what happens often is those thoughts, as someone cuts you off or is not driving quite the right speed, those thoughts can tend to mindlessly become negative. And then all of a sudden we're attracting negativity instead of good stuff into life. So I'm glad you brought that up. And I agree with you. 5 hours is about my max as well on any driving
trip. Absolutely. That is it. And I pray it's not I'm in traffic for 5 hours. And then that's okay, too, because I would say, you know, Ken, for a while ago, you know, when I was in corporate environment and driving, and when it would take an hour in traffic to get home, maybe even two, it just really depends on that day and the way traffic was going, that's still time to allow you to really think about some things that's going on, you know, in your life or with yourself, or come up with some creative ideas and how to, you know, really advance your family or advance yourself. So it can be good all the way around. It's just how you use it.
Yes.
So it could be a good thing. Well, tell us a little bit about Drive Me to Think.
Sure, sure, sure. So, and in fact, you mentioned that it's a great book for commuters. I always say if I had to pick a target, it would be, you know, the daily commuters that are, you know, kind of struggling through and doing the traffic thing, and it's very hard to not become negative at times, right?
Absolutely.
And then, you know, young drivers, we found from feedback that the sooner you can make young drivers aware that driving is going to be a test, you know, both, well, perhaps primarily mentally, a test, meaning test of patience, you know, test of kindness. And in fact, the book, it basically basically started that way. I had been studying, you know, the history of religions and spirituality and philosophy at Columbia University, got out of school, and was commuting on Long Island. And so I would read something, you know, spiritual in the morning, maybe even have a spiritual audio CD in or something.
Yes.
But then the next thing you know, I'm angry at the woman in the left lane that's driving not quite to my liking. So I thankfully noticed this little, it's almost an internal hypocrisy of, Mr. High and Mighty Spiritual Thoughts, and that's all well and good until you get behind the wheel. And I'm like, so what is it about us that when we drive, we tend to get a little less kind, a little less patient? And so I studied that a bit, and I found that, or at least I called it a second level of separation, meaning in spiritual tenets, in many of them, it says that we're humans in a time-space existence because we've separated from, you know, creator, universe, God, love, what have you. So we're kind of struggling through and trying to, you know, be good people and all. But then we get into the car, and all of a sudden,
right,
out the window, it's almost like now we're not seeing people anymore. You know, grandma, grandpa, a young driver who just learned how to drive, someone looking for a turn. We just see a car in our way or driving too slow or driving too fast. So I called it a second level of separation, and I think just naming it can bring some awareness to it, which means, and I go through this in the book, is that, you know, really take a look at yourself and your thoughts while you're driving, while we're in this more, perhaps more difficult area of being nice, and use it as a practice ground. Use it as a place to say, I'm not going to be drawn into negativity. In fact, I'm going to take anything I used to perceive as negative or that would get on my nerves or make me judge someone, I'm going to shine a light on it and say, I'm not going to do that. In fact, I'm going to use each of those instances as a reminder to refocus on the things I want to do, be, and have in my life, my goals. And now it becomes a positive law of attraction type of experience where you're practicing patience and forgiveness as opposed to a mindless, negative, semi-road rage, you know, commute or drive to wherever. So the book goes through how to commit to certain things and how to set a plan to convert driving time into very positive attraction time.
Absolutely. And, you know, mentioning patience and forgiveness, those, to me, those are like two key things, especially to become aware of and then learning how to practice that, because I would definitely say you have your tests all day on the road with patience.
Yeah.
Yes. Immediate patience and immediate forgiveness. You definitely have your test.
That's right.
And I like that you say it's like you go into the second level. I really like that analogy. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Sure. In fact, Course in Miracles is one of the spiritual texts I've studied a good deal, and it's very forgiveness-based. And talks about separation as an actual, you know, that is basically explains, you know, our being in a human body, or our spirit, or our essence being in a human body, that at some point, some level, somewhere, we had a tiny mad decision to, you know, see what we could do on our own, away from, you know, what we might call eternal peace, that kind of thing. So in spiritual circles, that is called, you know, original separation or separation. I've identified this phenomenon, and every time I do a talk or speak to someone, even the sweetest people in the world, when I say, you know, we just tend to get meaner when we get behind the wheel, everyone nods their head like, yep.
Yep.
You're right, I do, and it could be the sweetest, most religious person. They always nod their heads, and so there is some phenomenon there, and I think it is simply a magnitude is off, right? But it's just this second level of separation where we are just less personal. We are not really seeing or acknowledging that there's a person in that car, you know, maybe doing the best they can, maybe not, and but whatever it is, they're a person and they're fallible like you and I. And in fact, that gets into what it's one of the strategies in the book, but it's the one that I think I use most. It's the simplest. It's called the Trinity of Forgiveness, while you're driving, it's a great time to practice it, but also in life. So it's very simple, and it goes like when something happens and you're driving, okay, before you react, ask this one question of yourself. Have I, and then this word ever in all caps, have I ever done that or something like that before? So generally, and when I talk to people about this and they actually start doing it, because I get my buddies and all to do that, hey, just do this one thing for me if you would. Ask you, next time you're about to get mad at someone, just ask yourself, have I ever done that before? And then they come back to me and say, you know what? I can't get mad at anyone anymore because I've done that or something very similar to that. Or even if you seriously consider like driving down the shoulder of a road to get around everyone, but haven't quite, how mad can you get at someone that's doing it now? And even more than that is do we really, what is this compulsion to want to get mad? You know, and that gets into another thing that we could talk hours about, but that's, you know, the human ego, which is always trying to judge and justify anger and really justify judgment and hate. And it's really, you know, the beginning or the perpetuation of what we're seeing so much of today in politics and religions, which is the cycle of hate. And we are, if we don't shine a light on it, we are drawn to that cycle of hate. We are drawn to want to feel the passion of anger. And never, to me, is it as prevalent as when we're driving and especially commuting and especially in traffic.
Absolutely. And I love how you use, you know, just something as, you know, it's as simple yet complicated as driving. Driving can be, you know, complicated if, you know, so many commuters aren't thinking, you know, the same way. Everybody's thinking totally different and all over the place. And, you know, there are some people that are not aware of just themselves and where they are, you know, currently right now, just, you know, within themselves, you know, their thoughts, their mind. They could be mad about something, maybe had a terrible day at work or anything, and that energy is just following them, and it's just leading the way. And it's just
That's
like,
right.
Yes, do that, cut her, cut in between that, and you know, blow your horn and give them a finger, you know, whatever. And just the way that you use that, when people become aware of something, that's when they stop to think. And most times, most times they want to change. You know, you do have some that are just stubborn and want to keep it their way. But most often, you know, most people want to change because they don't like what they see or what they hear about themselves, you know, not even about the person right next to them, but just simply about themselves. So I think this is a good way of putting that message. It's almost like a ministry, putting the message out there, you know, to help so many in such a unique way and just a very practical way. The Drive Me to Think movement, I see that now it's like a movement, and you hit on so much, like the distracted driving, and I would say that would definitely be a lot of texting and looking at social media while driving. I see that all the time, you know, guilty as I speak, but see that all the time, and that's not, you know, that takes away from your concentration, from your focus. And, you know, you're not just driving for yourself, but you're driving for everyone. You know how cliche it sounds, but it's the truth. You know, someone could not be paying attention, and you see them, and you get over so that they don't hit you. You're in the right, but they're in the wrong, but you're paying attention. You know, you're aware of your surroundings. You're aware. You're conscious of everything that's going on around you, yet you know, and that person is not paying attention and can hit you because they're looking at or texting somebody and, you know, about to cause a huge catastrophe. So I think that movement is great. And tell us a little bit about that movement, Drive Me to Think movement that you're going.
Sure. So, yeah, it is to change and save lives, right? So,
yes.
So and as many as humanly possible, because as the book tells you, it goes through a little bit of introspection and higher self consideration and identification. And it eventually asks you, who do you want to be? Do you want to be in this life that you have, the kind of person that gets angry at someone driving, looking for a turn, an older person whose vision and judgment, you know, and reflexes aren't good? Do you want to be the kind of person that gets angry at them and glares at them and drives by you know, in this life, or do you want to be someone that is helpful, that is a little more
right.
focused on service and forgiveness? And so the book goes through, and why it's great for young people is that there are commitments. So there are five commitments dispersed throughout the book. One of them is, of course, having to do with distracted driving, and exactly what you said, which there is a trust factor. That is involved in the roadways, and that we're dealing with lives, and you know, and that it's, you know, it's serious subjects. But the reason it's great for young drivers is that we find that they do go through these commitments, and when you do go through the commitments, and then you kind of boil them down, and then they go in your car to be looked at before you start the car, you know, every time you get in. So and it's just a refocusing tactic to say, oh yeah, this is my time to practice that higher self I want to be, and that higher self is patient and forgiving and would rather be a person of service or helpfulness than a person of anger and judgment. And that's
right.
the way you start your car, and that's the way you go. And then with forgiveness, which is just a great thing to practice, and it played a big role in my life, and that's in the book. But after you practice forgiveness behind the wheel enough, it becomes a first thought in life, at work, mean email, spouse says something mean. You revert to it. It's closer to your conscious thinking after you practice it all the way to work, because you'll find yourself battling. Like, no, that person does not forgive to be or deserve to be forgiven. He's weaving through traffic like his time's more important than anyone else's, blah, blah, blah. And you'll find you're internally having this argument in your head. But the answer is always forgiveness. And it's
right.
not just for that person, not that person is deserving of it. It frees you both. It
yes.
frees
wow.
your mind from
absolutely.
It, and it allows your mind to refocus on those good things and that higher self you want to be. And then eventually when you'll stop battling yourself so much, I don't think it ever goes away because we're human, but you'll
right.
find that it's easy to do, and there is a bit of after you forgive, and let's use the word, I love the word transcend, because you're actually saying, how important is this really in my life? Do I want to get in a little road rage thing here? Or if I was in front of that person that's driving slowly, what is that going to save me? A minute and a half, you know? So,
right.
so now you're transcending the whole thing, and when you transcend these things, these things in life that used to make you angry or get you in a bad mood, when you can actually transcend them, there is a claiming of power in that. And it becomes kind of a really joyous thing. When you actually find yourself transcending something that just 2 weeks ago you know would have angered you on the road, and you know you might have been tailgating someone and trying to let them know that you're angry about that, and when you don't do that at all and you just fully let it go and you refocus your mind on your goals in life and this new higher self you want to be, it becomes a very powerful, happy moment. And then those, you know, those
yes.
moments, they happen a lot, and as you practice them behind the wheel to get back to the mission, is you are naturally become safer, and so does everyone else on the road that you know
absolutely.
Is in your, let's say, snow globe of driving. So the safety is almost automatic, really, the first time you employ some of these things. But
yes.
then the changing of life is dramatic, because it's not just behind the wheel. These are things that then translate to life. And guess what? Because we've all admitted that we become a little meaner behind the wheel, guess what? It's a little easier to forgive when we're not behind the wheel. So this
absolutely.
Practice time, yeah, it's like accelerated. It's like wearing some weights when you work out. You take the weights off and you go into life, and guess what? You're a little stronger. So there's a lot of things going on with this movement to change and save lives, and the roadways are a great place to try to do that, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ken? Ken?
Yes.
Hi, this is Kaneen. How are you?
Great.
So I was listening, and I mean, this is, first of all, I definitely want to commend you. I was reading a
yes.
bit of the book, and it is so fascinating. This is very, very unique and very different. And I want to ask you, have you considered a podcast? Do you have a podcast or any type of audio where others can listen to while driving?
Oh, you know, I don't have any such thing. I love the idea. I would
yes.
love to do that.
Yeah, because I could definitely see some type of, you know, maybe, and I don't know if it's affirmations, just having your audio book. Because so many people, and I just want to, just a really quick story, and I have another question for you. I knew someone where she... her son had died in a motorcycle accident. A car had hit him, And I noticed when she drives, she had a lot of road rage, but she had so many accidents. And while driving, she's always multitasking. And so she had all these different things going on, but I noticed that the road rage, so and she's constantly getting into accidents. And long story short, she went to see a counselor therapist, and they mentioned to her she had not yet forgiven the person who had killed her son in an accident. So
wow.
So on the road, so this is like amazing, because on the road it's like she's distracted, she's irritated, she's annoyed because she still did not deal with the death of her son, and she thought she had forgiven the person, but she had not forgive. So I love what you have in your book, and I wanted to ask you a little bit more information about. You said something about the revelation and the resolution that's in your book. What is the revelation and the resolution?
Okay, yeah. I think the revelation is that I guess what we've been speaking about a bunch about, which is that this. All of life, I think what we're really here for is to learn forgiveness, right? So the revelation is that two things can happen when we're driving. If we're not forgiving, there is it's like, you know how ideas come to you when you shower. It's called alpha brainwave. You're half distracted, so your mind is a bit freed. Okay, so that's called an alpha level of brainwave activity. So it happens while we're driving and when we're showering, things like that, right? So ideas can come. So here's the thing: the revelation is that if you're thoughts that pop into your mind are negative, and you're agitated, and you're a judgmental driver, then when the alpha starts happening, that's an attraction brainwave level. That's when the actual law of attraction in life, those things that are imagined, envisioned, tend to start to happen in your life. If that's all negative for 45 minutes to work one way and 45 minutes to work the other way, then guess what? You are attracting negativity into your life. Because of this alpha. So now you're in a mindless, angry driving state, which is an attraction of negativity. So the revelation is, it's not just to be a nice person, although that's great. It's that you don't want to be attracting negativity. You want to catch those negative thoughts. Anything that is judgmental, impatient, angry, and unkind, you want to catch yourself and shift that to what I call a success vision or a go-to vision, which is a vision, however far, and it goes through it in the book, how to set that up a bit, but a colorful vision of some success, what you want to do, be, and have in your life. And when you can catch, the sooner you can catch yourself, it's called temptation, you're tempted to negativity, right? The sooner you can catch yourself, become aware, let it go, and shift your focus back to that happy success vision. Now you're positively attracting. So you might have been for the last 10 years commuting angrily, and literally attracting negativity into your life through alpha brain wave activity. And now you can change all that. And from the feedback from the book says, yes, things started to happen in my life. It's basic law of attraction, and it's one of the best times. So the revelation is not just, hey, this can be happy time. It's often negative time, so it's got to be changed.
Wow. So, Ken, we have so much that we can talk about with this, because this is amazing. But for time, just want to make sure you give all your information. Where can our listeners contact you, your website, your book information, all the great details about you? How can they find that out?
Oh, great, great, great. So it's very simple, because everything, even the links to the several places you can buy the book, are all at my website, which is drivemetothink.com. And you can contact me there about speaking, universities and high schools. Like I say, the blog is there, some thoughts about driving, some thoughts about applying these principles to politics, and other things in the blog are all there. But basically everything is at drivemetothink.com.
Wow, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank
and also
you.
I just want to say really quick as well, I could definitely see you doing things like workshops on forgiveness around especially those who have overcome accidents or yes. still dealing with the mental capacity or the emotional trauma behind accidents. So thank you so much. We would definitely be in contact. This was such a wonderful show, a lot of great information, and I really commend you on what you're doing in the world.
Yes.
So thank you so much.
Thank you so
Good
much.
Luck. Best of luck to all that you're doing, and have an awesome day.
Oh, thank you both very much. You too. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you
Bye-bye.
So much.
Bye now.
All right, Writers Nation listeners, that was so awesome. Listen, you didn't need, sometimes
yes.
what I just shared, Shalonda, with, and we know that there's a person, but what I just shared is sometimes we do things and it keep reoccurring and we have no ideas because we have not yet forgiven. So stay tuned,
Absolutely.
Writers Nation listeners, stay tuned. Join us next week, Writers Nation.
Yes.
Radio.com. You want to sign up to be a guest. If you don't, you don't even have to have a book. Just sign up, and we can ask you all the questions you need to know how to get your book out there in the world, how to share your message. So stay tuned. We look forward to speaking with you next week. Again, if you have
yes.
any, you want to send us an email, send it to writersnation3@gmail.com. Have a great day, Writers Nation listeners. Till next week.
You have been listening to Writers Nation Radio, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you'd like more information about this show, please visit writersnationradio.com. For more information about Tough Talk Radio Network, visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.